Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this.
We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gadigal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present, and emerging.
Well, it's bring your kid to work day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dear.
No, we are flexible.
Yep.
We can be agile,
Dave. We can work with your little boy.
Oh, DLs, if you hear a little cough from the corner today, I'm sorry. Teddy is here in the pod studio with us today. He could not go to school. I could not get any help. So here he is. That hopefully won't go the whole time. Man, oh, man.
On that note, should we get into the episode?
Let's just do it.
We have a thousand things to do, but we'd rather chat to you. With emails and meetings and husbands and kids, we don't have time for this. Just what you need, two basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time for This. I'm your host, Gemma Pranita, a.k.a. Gemma Pina on the gram, along with my co-host,
Kate Reeves.
Who's really good at making me feel self-conscious about my mouth sounds.
Listen, it's got to end.
DLs, do you hear it?
Oh, babe, you don't want to open that door. The DLs are not the type to be like, hey, Gem, just letting you know that every 8 seconds, we just hear a little mouth sound.
I can't help it.
You can. You can drink water.
I am drinking water. I have water
like right
with me
now, but that's like acute putting out the fire, like triage. You need to drink water anyway, listen, this is your body, your choice. Gem's always attested to being a camel.
I am. I know. I'm very I don't think I can be a podcaster anymore. I think I need to back out of this career.
So instead of just drinking water, you've decided to back out of podcasting.
I do drink water.
No, you don't.
When I'm thirsty, when I need it, when my body tells me. Okay. Rebs is very good at telling me that I make mouth sounds on the podcast and I need to drink more water.
We used to edit without our editor with us. We used to get texts right before record, big glasses of water, please.
Totally. Well, now I'm learning that it was directed at me.
It's okay, babe. We'll get you there.
Well, while you've got a sick little bear with us in the studio, I hope you don't mind me sharing that my two have become BFFs.
Oh, of course I don't mind. That's beautiful.
I've just been thinking a lot about siblings and your kids in general and how you just want to cultivate such a solid foundation of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you can't pick your siblings. I know you can't guarantee that they're going to be best buddy pals. I know lots of people who are even estranged from their siblings.
Yeah.
And I'm sure to some degree that's sad for their parents, you know, because I think that's your hope, right? That they have this shared history and that when you go, they'll always have each other to lean on.
Yeah.
And, you know, my brother and I, we have vastly different personalities, but I really treasure our relationship and I feel like I work at it. I don't consciously work super hard, but I make sure he knows that I love and care about him as a brother, you know. And I think with having a pigeon pair, you can't help but project your own experiences.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Rafa and Iggy will grow up to be very different people or maybe they'll have shared interests. I don't know. But whatever it is, whatever pathway they take in terms of their interests, say their careers, the kind of people they gravitate to.
Wow.
I just hope that they still have each other's backs.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, it's that having of each other's backness that I want to nurture.
Well, how do you nurture that though? Because you can cultivate friendship. Can you do that, do you think?
Well, I mean, Hubs and I constantly, and maybe we hope it gets absorbed through osmosis, we talk about it frequently how, you know, you guys only have each other. You're each other's only sibling. You got to be there for each other and family's really important and we've got to have each other's backs and we've always supported each other. You know, we're the Roonies, we're a team.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that talk that goes on in our household. So
that should do it, I reckon.
God.
So funny. I heard something the other day where someone was like, so much talk about core mems. We're all trying to make core mems for our kids. She's like, none of my core mems involve my parents. And I was like, oh my God, truth.
What?
She's like, all my core memories were when I was off with my sister or my brother, or I was playing at the bottom of the garden, or I was staying up late with a school friend, or they were all my private moments. She's like, it's so funny, millennial parents thinking they can like cultivate and insert and manufacture this like situation for their kids. She's like, couldn't tell you one of my core memories that involved my parents.
Well, that makes me sad for them because a lot of my core memes involve my parents. Well, and I don't know if that makes me sad or cool.
It doesn't make you either. It just is. But it's funny, you know, how we think we are much bigger deal.
So you can't recall core memes with your fam?
I can think of like family holidays and yeah, stuff. For
that's
sure.
A core fucking mem. We're not forking out all this money and taking the kids away for them to be control alt delete core mem don't care.
I don't know. They might, babe. Like no. It might be your core mem. And that's fine. You're allowed to have core memes too.
How many times have we said core mem in this episode?
Imagine someone's like, what's a core mem? Core memory. I know, but I just found that really funny. I was like, that's so true. I've never thought about it that way. Like I can definitely recall some like milestone, amazing family holidays. But she's right. If I think about like formative moments or things that stick with me, they are usually kind of private moments or yeah. with a friend or like, yeah.
But what about Christmas and how your family does Christmas?
Stop trying to make Christmas happen. I'm kidding.
I will, goddammit.
Like, yeah. Like I can remember a feeling, definitely, which is definitely cultivated by my mother.
I have a core mem of my parents always saying, it's adult time, off to bed.
Well, there you go.
Like, it's so vivid. Like, yeah. I can hear the tone and the
You're not welcome here.
Yeah, and the annoyance of my presence. And I've
can't imagine that.
I've continued it on with my kids.
Great. Well, there you go.
That was my core mem, and it's about to become yours for better or worse.
To bed.
But anyway, back to Raffinigs. I'm just really pleased that the 20-month age gap is truly paying off.
It's so good because it's hard sometimes.
It was hard in the early years, yeah, but now I'm like, oh, they properly do imaginative play together. Yes. And, you know, Iggy's
got a mate.
Currently 4 and Raff is 5. She will be turning 6 next month, but, you know, for all intents and purposes of this chat, they're 1 year apart, yeah. really. Honestly, it warms my heart. And they fall into the hierarchy. Like Raff is always playing the teacher, Iggy's the student, like she's always the boss.
Yep.
But they've found synergy. They're like,
oh, yeah.
They're like happy in those roles. And they've worked out that each other can actually be fun because mum's not interested in playing.
No, fuck no.
I sure as heck am not going to get on my hands and knees and hold a Barbie and wave it around.
Oh, my God. We were talking about this before. Mm-hmm. This is another thing. I don't have one memory of – I'm sorry, mum and dad, if I'm wrong. I don't have a single memory of my parents playing with me.
Mm.
I played by myself or with my sister or with a friend. They didn't get down – my mum had shit to do. And I remember that. I mean, my mum dedicated her life to raising me and my sister. She was stay at home. She looked after. She was always there.
She was a career mom.
She was had the presence of her there, but she didn't get down and play Barbies. No, fuck that. No, she had to go do stuff. She had to run a household and get on with things, you know? And I knew that and I was fine with that.
Totally. If I think back as well, actually, Revsy, I was a big My Little Pony gal. Mm-hmm. I had lots of My Little Ponies and I had lots of trolls.
Yes.
And I loved playing families and playing out stories.
Yep.
And I don't remember my mum doing any of that either.
Because she had shit to do.
She did. One thing she did do was play board games.
Fun, yeah.
Core mem.
Love that, core mem. Look, I think we blame Bluey for this.
Mm-hmm.
They're always Bandit and Chili. Why are they always getting involved?
Fuck Bluey, man.
Seriously, doing us dirty, making, setting up some precedent that parents play. Like, no.
Like, get on their hands and knees and properly play.
We have friends who say they love to do it. Good for them. I'm just saying, my mum never did it with me and I'm fine.
She says as she rocks in the corner, shuddering from the memories of being neglected.
No, I'm just kidding. Like, seriously think it's fine for kids to work out their own imagination, to get bored, to make discoveries, to figure out who they are, to scrap together their own identity. We don't have to put our shit on them 24/7, honestly.
But what about the guilt? Because Raff has straight up said to me, Mom, you never play with me.
Yeah, and you go, too right, bitch.
I go, what do you want to play? She's like, I want to build a YouTube channel and I want to play with my Bluey characters. I've got the caravan out. Can you be the mum? And I'm like, nah. No. But without a board game, come on, Snakes and Ladders.
Yeah,
I'm here for that.
Because that's set up to be played. Mm. Like imaginary play, you're in your own world. You're the director, producer, writer, all of it, babe. Like off you go.
Yeah.
No, you don't know.
Or find your people, which is how I felt when I found you, Rebs.
Same, babe.
Found my person.
Really, you'd do her a disservice if you were her person. She'd never go out and look for her people.
I'm not her person. I don't want to be her person. She needs to find her, Rebs. She needs to find the pot to her own lid. Thank you very much. I've got mine.
Yeah, 100%. I know, it's so funny. Well, this leads very well into my, you know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for?
Fucking mum guilt.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's a specific flavour of mum guilt, okay? I am usually okay with my mum guilt, you know, like because we get messages, texts, DMs, literally when we meet DLs, all they want to talk about a lot of the time is mum guilt.
Yep.
It's huge for everyone. And we know why. We're trying to live in these fucking capital cities with this economy and, you know, two people working and two people parenting and sharing everything, all the reasons. We all know why. We're pulled in a million different directions and you're never able to be everything to everyone. You can never be fully present in any one place,
yeah.
You know, and we're being pulled by our phones and all that, you know, modern technology shit. We've had this chat many, many a time.
And I think we can all agree that guilt is a burden that weighs particularly heavily on mums.
Yes, 100%. Mm. Yeah, dad guilt's not really a phrase we hear very often.
Yeah.
I'm sure it exists, but we don't hear about it. That's not what our show is about or for. So anyway, we're talking about mum guilt. So at the stage I'm at in my parenting career, I feel like I had sort of accepted and found a flow with my mum guilt. It's definitely there.
It doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away.
You learn to live with it. I've learned to park it.
Yeah.
When I feel it creep up, like when we went away on tour, for example, and then I reminded myself, hang on, Hubs travels for work all the time.
All year
round. And the kids don't lay on the performance for him the way that they do for me really lather up that mum guilt just before I leave. And so I shelve it. I don't let it consume me. And I certainly don't let it take away from the experience I'm having.
Yeah. Well, that takes work, right? But we do so much talking about that. And we're always saying to the DLs, like, park your mum guilt, throw your guilt in the bin and just focus on all the things you're doing well and all that stuff. So can I apply it to myself? Well, not all the time. Although I've found a groove with it, right?
Good.
At this stage in my life. Well.
Until now. Dun, dun, dun.
You know, term one's all wrapped up at school and we're back into this new school year and I'm now getting another layer of mum guilt I didn't even know was possible. So not only do I feel guilty about not being at school all the time, because there is stuff, you could be at school every day if you wanted to. They are always needing volunteers for things. There's canteen, there's literacy groups, there's ethics, there's fundraising. And then of course there's the Easter hat parade that we just had. Then there's, you know, assembly. Isla is getting a bloody merit award every second week, you know. That sounds like humble brag, but actually,
casual flex.
Well, it sounds like it, but really it's just like assemblies at 9:30 on a Monday.
Who can make that?
Who can make that? You know, the Easter hat parade's at 10. It's like, okay, cool. So I'll just rock into work lunchtime on that day. There's so many things and I would love to be more active and present in the life of the school. I would. At first I didn't really. I wasn't that into it when I was like, because there's a massive adjustment, which you're in right now.
Oof, I'm feeling it from all directions.
When you become a school mum, it's like, oh wait, the day is way shorter.
Yep.
And there's a lot more they ask of parents than daycare ever did.
So many comms.
So many comms.
From every platform possible known to man.
Multiple platforms.
WhatsApp, email, Audrey app, Flexi School app. I've got like 10 apps school.
Wait till you get into year 3 and 4 and you start to get the multiple homework apps as well. Man. It's crazy. Plus, well, you know, the year 4s are all on Kids Messenger doing like group messaging and stuff. So you got to monitor that. Yeah, it's insane. I would love to be doing literacy group for both my kids. Mm. I would love to think I could be a class parent. I couldn't possibly.
You could not be a class parent, Rebs.
I know. I work full-time and I'm sorry about that, but I work full-time because I live in fucking Sydney and I have one income in my household. I have two kids to support who do 3 extracurricular activities. They need new shoes, fucking dentist. You know, you get it. We all get it. Like if I take half days once a week or even once a month. It affects the situation. And like, here's the thing. I work for myself, for us. Like we have a partnership. We are very flexible. I've literally got my sick kid here at work. I know most mums can't even do that. Like can't take their sick kid into work. That's a massive privilege. But almost with that flexibility, I'm not whinging. I'm just.
Whinge away, babe.
But with that flexibility.
Whinge FM.
With that flexibility comes the pressure, right? Because, you know, we could every week, you, me and producer Kate have something that could take us away from work, if not five things, you know, someone gets sick, someone's got this, someone's got that presentation, someone's got this trial class, someone's got this play date, someone, you know, whatever. We could almost never come in
100p.
If we did all the things. You have to have a boundary almost more so when you work for yourself because otherwise.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because I had to explain this to my husband.
Yes.
Because I work for myself, because on the surface it looks like, well, you have all the flexibility in the world. You don't answer to anyone. You're absolutely right. And I got myself into a pattern. I'm sorry to like steamroll your chat, but like I just got really frustrated even just recently where I said to my husband, like, I cannot carry every single doctor's appointment for our kids because I became the default parent, which in some ways, yes, I understand logistically it makes sense.
No, it doesn't actually because you have the same amount of work to do. It's just you don't have a boss that's going to get you in trouble.
Totally.
But you still have the work to do.
Yes.
You still have the deadlines.
It doesn't go away.
If we don't come in, like, yeah, I would have, of course, much preferred me and Teddy to be at home today. If we don't come in today, there's no episode on Tuesday.
No.
You know, like we still have the deadlines. We still have the job. And yet, like flexibility is a really interesting thing because women are always looking for flexibility in their jobs. But you know how it goes. Like after a while, you've taken the flexibility piss.
Yeah.
And then you've just got double the work to do in a shorter amount of time.
But let's talk about deadlines because there are no jobs that exist that don't have a deadline, really.
No.
So I guess that flexibility sentiment is around as long as you get it done by the deadline.
Yeah.
But the problem is we don't choose when our kid gets sick and needs the day off school.
Nope.
We can't dictate to the school and say, actually, Easter Hat Parade on that day doesn't
work
for me.
Can we do
I've
it another
got a
day?
Deadline. Can we do it another day?
Imagine.
You know? And so, some people's personalities are last minute Lavinias and I'm a bit like that even with work. Like I need a gun to my head to kind of really kick me into overdrive to get things done. And actually sometimes it forces creativity out of me that I didn't know I had in a positive way. If you give me too much lead time, I'm like, do.
Yeah.
So I thrive on a deadline, but having kids, it's not a good marriage.
No, particularly school.
Yeah.
And, you know, the day ends at 3, let's be honest. And if it doesn't, you've got to pay for it to not end at 3, for it to end at 6. And then, you know, the next layer, which is what I want to talk about, is my 9, almost 10-year-old now has a lot of feelings about it. She's looking around and she's literally said to me last night, all the other mums are always there at the bell.
Ouch.
All the other mums do canteen. All the other mums do literacy. Now, as you said to me this morning when I was upset about it, not all, of course not all, because that's not statistically possible. But yeah, a lot of mums prioritize.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I don't at all think they're not sacrificing somewhere else. You know, they might be sacrificing career-wise. They might be sacrificing salary-wise. They might be sacrificing relationship-wise. Everyone's got their own setup and no one's is easier. But when my near 10-year-old daughter looks at me and is like, you're fucking letting me down.
Oof.
And I said, you know, I just tried to hold space, validate. It's like, I'm really sorry. I can see this is really upsetting you. I'm really, really sorry if I've let you down in that way. And she goes, you have let me down.
Oh, I can see why this is guilt of another flavor. It's out of the mouths of your own babe, like looking at you and smothering you in that guilt.
Yeah.
And I, and by then, directly telling you, I feel let down by you.
I feel let down. I feel like my mom is not at school like the other moms.
So let's be clear. What does Isla want?
She would love me to do literacy every week because there's mums that, you know.
Do it every week?
And no, it's not just mums. There are a sprinkling of dads. But let's just be honest. It's mostly mums.
Yeah.
You know, the class parent's always a mum or two mums, job sharing because we're good at that too.
Yeah.
Canteen, there's uniform shop, like anything involved in the life of the school. Like I try really hard to go to the assemblies if she's getting an award. But like I said, she's getting a fucking award all the time.
I love her.
I'm honestly not trying to flex. I'm always like, She would like me to be there more often, you know. Mm. And now I've said on this podcast, I've been really trying to work on their independence because I do believe it's good for them, but it's also good for me, right? Yeah. So I've been trying to get them to walk to school and walk home from school and things like that. And I think because I'm also not at school, maybe it's just a step too far. Mm. But it's like it was really humming there for a minute. I thought we were really moving into a good new phase.
Yeah.
You know,
question.
But, yeah.
Does Isla have a bestie or a crew of friends at school whose parents are very present?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Like if she had like two or three besties and their mums also work full time and can't make time.
Because yeah.
that's the issue, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like it's not that you don't want to be there.
No.
It's more that you literally logistically cannot make it work in your day. Like you said, you can't just start work at lunchtime.
No.
One day a week every week.
And then that's be work. Back at, you know, 3 o'clock.
Yeah. For pickup.
For pickup. It's not plausible.
No.
The math ain't mathin'.
No,
it doesn't fit, and it hasn't fit for a long time. And I know the Gen X's were like really made a lot of noise about this, and I don't know if there's been any change. Like I think maybe this is just a really stretchy, teethy point, and maybe by the time we get into year 5 and 6 and there is a little bit more independence and she's less obsessed with me. But that's sad. I don't yeah. want to miss these years where she wants me involved, when she wants me around, when she wants me to be proud of her. So I just have to sort of tell her and, like you say, hope it goes in.
Yeah. So the DLs and I,
yeah,
we want to know, what did you say?
I said.
Like, I know you said you validated her feelings.
Yeah, I did. And I always do that first. And I actually get, even though it hurts, I do get proud and excited when she can look me in the eye and go, you did let me down.
Mm.
Because I want her to take that into her adult relationships.
Everything is so double-edged, isn't it?
It's so double-edged.
It's so funny.
It fucking cuts to the yeah. core. You're like, wow, yeah, okay, I let you down. But I know, I'm like, I zoom out and go, yep, if she can look a man or a woman, whoever she's yeah. in a relationship
and
with,
express herself.
Or a boss or a colleague and confidently say, no, you let me down, I'll be really proud. So
100%.
Win. Resilience. Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the 3 MCO beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number 2 mm-hmm. would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it, called it.
I mean, I love the sun-kissed bronze look, mm-hmm. obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Rebsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favorite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today. What I'm trying to resist the urge to do is go, if you want to go on holidays, if you want.
But you want to.
I want to do that.
Secretly,
it's the easy
you're like,
way.
Babe, do yeah. you know how expensive this apartment you live in is?
Yep.
You know that holiday I took you on to Noosa at the start of this year?
You know those brand new Nikes that you just like really
to
wanted to have for school?
Yeah.
You know your drum lessons, you know your dance lessons, you know, I want to do that, but I don't think that's quite right because I think I really feel that would open the door for her to go, I'll give it all up to just have my mum at school. Like there's potentially that, and it's not the full truth because the truth is I do want my own life and career as well.
Yeah.
And I do believe I'm allowed to have that. And I do believe my children can handle that. So I just tried to say a version of that. I was like, look, honey, I work full time and I understand that it sometimes clashes with school events and I can't make everything. And I said, there will be lots of mums and lots of dads. Try and like
yeah,
make
you
that
have
clear.
To.
Lots of dads.
Actually, can I ask this?
Yeah.
Like, does she, I guess maybe you wouldn't know, but does she hold her dad to this level of account?
I don't know, but I know none of the kids hold the dads to the level of account they hold the mums because it's different. and they want their mums there more, and the mums are there more. And yeah, like she's got one bestie who's got a mum like me, and that little girl rides home from school on her bike by herself, and her mum's never there, and her mum doesn't do literacy, and her mum's, you know, we're the ones who text each other and we're like, hey, are you, oh, no, you're not, oh, fuck, okay, I'll text one of the good mums, you know, yeah, like, yeah. Like we're both that juggle, juggle, juggle.
I'm happy for you that you have that person.
Oh, yeah, but Isla just seems to forget she exists.
Of course. Because it's not convenient to her narrative.
Well, she's looking at these and there are rock star good mums. Like I'm thinking of one I know at school. She has four children, including a set of twins. She is a class mum. Wow. She's the coach of the touch football team. She's organising the Mother's Day charity raffle. She is just a successful mum. Mm. You know, she's just so good at it. That's not me. I'm good at lots of other things, but that's not me. I can't handle that. I can only handle being successful in one area at a time. But also, am I letting my kid down while going for this?
I think it's okay that she has these feelings and yeah. you can't solve it for her.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's okay.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Just being like, oh, yeah.
This is life.
Yeah, yeah.
We cannot protect them from everything. We can't be a lawnmower parent where we solve all the issues and move all the debris out of the way so that they walk on perfectly freshly cut grass through life.
Yeah, I know.
And there will come a time when she gets older, she will understand
the
choices that you made. Like Isla's interested in your work, in our work.
She is.
There is a cognizant part of her that knows my mum has this really fucking cool job and I'm really inquisitive about it and she can share all of those parts with me and she can help me creatively and and you know she's got a lot to learn from you.
Yeah.
But yes, it is different.
It's just heartbreaking, right?
Of like, course it is.
Especially because I split the week. Like I already have multiple nights a week. I don't go to bed in the house with really my kids. Tough. I don't pick them up from school. Yes, we speak, but it's not the same.
Oh, Rebsy, I feel for you. Of course it would have cut to the fucking bone when she said, you've let me down.
Yeah.
You're not present in the school community in the way that I want you to be.
The thing with the split week as well is like I feel I'm trying so much harder this year than I have any year. Like I do have more energy for it. You know, I'm really trying to sit down and do homework and readers and really do all that stuff with them. And it takes time and energy and investment and I'm fine to do it. Of course I want to do that. But like, because I already split the week with them, it's like I want to give them everything on the days I have them. But life doesn't stop on the days I have my kids. Like there's still always things to do. And who's cooking dinner, taking out the garbage, doing the dishwasher, cleaning up, doing the laundry, making sure there's uniforms for tomorrow, getting the...
you, babe.
It's all on me, you know? Like every now and then I have my partner around for a second set of hands and it's lovely. But generally in the running of our lives, it's me and my two guys and our place and it's on me. And so I can't like make the most of those days like any mum. Like none of us can make the most. When those windows beautifully, magically open up, we feel grateful. We feel the benefit. We feel how good it feels to just sit quietly and connect and have this present moment with our kids.
It's lovely in theory.
Yeah, but
in practicality, it rarely offers itself up. The opportunities just aren't really there.
Not in modern, busy, expensive capital city life.
Yeah.
But like I don't want to move to the country and homeschool and give up my career. That's not me. I know that's extreme, but like even a half version of that. Like, but like I guess in my darkest thoughts, you know, 2 a.m. when I'm lying awake, I'm like, you know, I feel so much purpose in this job. I'm like, we come here and thousands of women tell us that we make them feel less alone. But like, what if that was at the expense of my one kid? Like, how would I feel about that, you know?
But then, like, if we're going to get really honest, if I was like, yeah, babe, it is at the expense of your kid, give it all up.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel right either or fair on you.
I know. I think you're right. I have to sort of trust in the long game a little bit.
You do. And it's really boring to say this, but you have to get uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. But also that goes two ways. It's the same with Isla.
Yeah.
And there will come a time where she's old enough where you can talk about perspective. Let's look at the scales of balance. Like, yes, mummy is in deficit here with the school stuff, but what do I bring that's a positive into your life, of which I could list a million things. But in that moment, in that nine-year-old brain,
yeah.
she's seeing what's right in front of her, which is school 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And you not being part of that community. So I can understand in her, you know, simplistic mind, and I hate using the word simplistic when aligning with Isla. It doesn't feel comfortable. But that's true. She hasn't got that 360-degree view yet. She can't possibly understand it. It's like how we never understood what our parents did for us until we became parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mum was so forthright in saying my whole life, one day you'll understand. One day, if and when you choose to have kids, you'll get it, Jim. You'll get it. And I used to be like, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever, mum. You know, this doesn't suit my argument in the moment. And then the second I gave birth to Rafa, maybe not the second.
I was going to say that second.
it was a slow burn, love for her. But like, honestly, like once I got hit with the rush and that lioness protectiveness that we all feel about wanting the absolute best for our children and never wanting them to feel pain or hurt, I was like, oh, I get it. And then you kind of appreciate your parents in a different way that you could never see before. And Isla will absolutely come to terms with all of that.
Mm.
And maybe in her teen years, when she is less obsessed with you, I hate to imagine the day for you. We will all grieve and mourn it together. But there will be a time where her friends will become her everything. And you will be demoted to being a taxi driver snack bitch that provides pocket money.
It's funny, like everyone always talks about they're only little for such a short time or whatever, about the like first 5 years or whatever. And, you know, before that, it's only such a short time. It did not feel like a short time to me. The early childhood years, the 1 to 5 for both my kids, did not feel like 5 years. I felt like 2 decades, you know, like managing daycare fees, full-time work, tiny little kids, no sleep, you know, relationship stress, everything that goes on in that early period was freaking hard. And I never look back at that period and go,
oh, it was a blip on the radar.
Oh, really? It was life. Like, no, I really still hold the intensity of that time and the challenge of that time. And I'm really going to try hard not to forget and like diminish that for anyone who's in it now or for my own kids when they go through that if they want to.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like then the new phase you move into is, oh, when they're like, you're in a sweet spot because they're not babies, but they're not teenagers. It's a sweet spot. It's a sweet spot. I'm like, okay, yep. Because I feel like there's just different challenges and different things pulling me in a million different directions. And then you hear, well, when you're a teenager, they need you more, but they don't want to this, they don't want to that. And then they hear, and then they're an adult and you never stop worrying. I'm like, so if you were going to take time out to just focus on kids, when would you do that? What's the best chapter? There isn't one. Not if you've got any kind of career ambitions. There's no chapter.
So true.
You know, it's not when they're teeny tiny. It's not when they're toddlers. It's not when they're first year of school. It's not now for me. But you see a lot of people just throw their hands up and step back when they have teenagers.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I've been very public about the fact that I really want to be readily available for my kids in the teen years. And people go, how could you possibly know what you're going to need or what your kids are going to need or how you're going to need to be for your kids in those years? And I can agree. It's like, you know, someone said to me once, you could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Are you really planning for the teen years? Ooh. And I'm like, well, I am. Yeah. If I'm honest, I'm allowed to idealize.
Yeah. And you're a planner.
What kind of parent? And yes, I find comfort and security in the planning, in the direction that I'm walking. I like to kind of have a goal and a vision of that. But yeah, when I say that to some people about, the teen years is where I really want to have firm work boundaries, I don't know if I'm capable of ever giving up work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Work really fills my cup. I know a lot of people can't relate to that. I enjoy working. I get a lot out of it and it fuels me as a person and I need it and I know I'm a better parent working.
But if you were a man, it wouldn't even be an issue. You wouldn't feel a twinge of guilt about that. No one would be like, oh, interesting. She puts all her energy in this direction and not this direction. Like, you know.
But like all mums, I align with you all. Solidarity, sisters. I also get hit with the guilt and it's a crushing weight at times. But I really struggle when people say to me, the teen years, but what about these years?
Yeah.
These are the most formative years that you're in. And then I feel that intense pressure like, oh, am I not doing enough? Like,
babe, we're not doing enough. You can't do enough.
No.
Like, we will never do enough. We're not. I know that for sure. That's one thing I need to talk about, accepting and being uncomfortable with the uncomfortable. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough homework. I'm not doing enough reading. I'm not doing enough quality, quiet time. I'm doing too much screen time. I'm doing too much sugar. I'm not. I know that. But, like, I can't do it all perfectly.
No.
And by the way, I'm not perfect at work either. Like, we're all human beings. We're not machines.
No.
But, like, yeah, I absolutely know I'm not doing enough. But even the people who stop and focus wholeheartedly on parenting, do they? I'm not hearing and I feel fulfilled and like I'm perfect at it. I don't hear that either.
No.
All I hear from everyone is, like, we're all not sure if we're doing it right, and we're all exhausted and we're all resentful, and we all think the grass is always greener, and we all think that mum has it easier than me and that mum has it harder, but at least I'm not her, but fuck, I really want to be her, you know?
But
like,
do you know what I see a lot of on Instagram of people who have put their careers on hold and are parenting full time is I see a lot of them posting content about this is not the years to hustle.
Yeah.
This is about slowing down. Yeah. And it doesn't make you less than, and a lot of like affirmations in I'm doing the right thing.
Mm.
So once again, whatever end of the spectrum you're in.
It's another version of guilt.
It is another version of guilt and another version of seeking out validation that you're making the right choice.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Revs. Like, stay at home parents are hit with a different set of challenges where, you know, I think there's a degree where they have comparisonitis and they look at the mum who's seemingly doing it all and managing the career and going, fuck, I'm put my fucking career on hold and here I am giving my all to these kids. And yes, perhaps looking at the grass is always greener, but then consuming content that counters that to make them feel comfortable in their decisions. No one's winning.
It's too much.
We're all just being too hard on ourselves.
Yeah, and it does come back to the advice I gave you a mere week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, and I need to give it to myself, quiet the noise, sit with yourself and figure out what you think about it. Like, not what you think, not what the DLs think, not what my mum thinks or mums at school, because actually none of those people are actually thinking about it. It's only me worrying if I'm doing all of it right, you know?
I've had those optics as well where I worry that other parents at school look at me and go, she mustn't spend time with her kids.
She's never here.
She's always working. She's never at drop-off. If I lean into those thoughts too hard, then I will get activated and then I will change what I'm doing, even though it doesn't work for me. And I craft and design my life so that it works for our family.
Yeah.
So you're right. It is about quieting the noise, getting rid of the opinions and just listening to what your needs are, what your kids' needs are, and how to make it work for you as a family the best way you can.
Yeah.
And I say the best way you can, I have to add that on there, because there is no perfect way.
Yeah.
So I feel like in this moment I almost want to treat you like a DL with a dilemma, phoning in on a Friday. I want to be like, so back to our DL.
Yeah.
Revsy, is there a way that you could look at the schedule of school ahead? And I guess I'm bringing this up because we work together. I'm like, how can I help facilitate this for you and for Isla?
Yeah.
Like, is there an opportunity where you could do a canteen day?
No. There's too much to do.
I know, but I'm saying, like, what if we as a collective made that a priority for you and for her? I'm just saying once a year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying weekly or fortnightly commitments.
You're right. The weekly fortnight, it's not going to happen.
No, no, that's not feasible.
No, because, you know, I'll do canteen and the next day the other one will be sick and then we've lost a week. You know, I can't do any of those regular things. But you're right. I could, like, go, you know what? I'm going to go to the athletics carnival.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go to this or I'm going to volunteer for this one thing and hopefully make a freaking meal out of it so Isla feels like I've been there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what me and producer Kate can do, and I guess maybe I'm saying this because I want to have permission for these moments as well, because we know that in our work environment, if one of us goes, this is really important,
yeah,
that we would absolutely yeah. move mountains in order for each of us to fulfill whatever that need is for their family.
Yeah. Well, I know, but I feel like this year you're a brand new school mum and it's really precious.
Can you hear me projecting my own guilt right now? Because the reality is, DLs, like I have been apologizing to the podcast.
Juggling a lot. Yeah.
Like almost every, sorry guys, I've got to go to this parent teacher thing and oh, Rafa's missing school. She says she's sick. Like literally, and then Iggy is sick and he's got eczema and he needs to go see this doctor and now he's seeing a specialist and now he's seeing an allergist. And, and I've just.
We can't both go down.
No, we both cannot, but it's felt like. I've felt awful at the start of this year, feeling like I'm the one taking liberties and you guys giving me a lot of grace. And I think I want to extend that back at you.
Thanks,
because
babe.
You haven't once looked at me, at least I don't think you have.
Haven't.
And gone.
This is what I'm saying. No one's looking at anyone and actually judging. No. It's all in our freaking heads.
It is.
And yeah, of course. And what do I say to you every time something comes up? Babe, these things happen. We'll work it out. But yeah, I feel you're a brand new school mum and the first year I remember the transition, the delicate nature of it. Like you're not in a flow yet. You will be next year. It'll be different, you know. But I get it. You think you have to absolutely attend every single thing.
I do.
In the first year. And then you start to learn like, well, that's just ridiculous. I can't make that, you know, and you can pick and choose a little more. But I get it being like year one. But yeah, I think, you know, I don't have a solution for me being the dilemma either, but I'm hope I can, you're right. Like Isla has the capacity to have the conversations where I can be like, I know I work more than some other mums. I know I'm not always there, but hey, what are the things that we can do that other people may not get because of that? You know, I don't know. It just.
Yeah. No. That work perk.
Work
you know,
perk.
Remember when you grew up and. So-and-so's parents are doctor and they can write their kid's own sick script or sick letter to school. Like every kid, no, I know, but like every kid has a parent who brings a work perk.
Yeah.
We just got to find one for Isla that makes her feel really seen and valued and important to you and that's special.
Yeah, totally. You know? I don't think there's a solution, but thank you for entertaining my whinge. Oh, Ted.
Oh, buddy. Well, once again, Rebsy, we haven't had time for what I don't have time for.
Oh, my God.
No, it's fine. No, honestly, this is what I love about our potty. This is what I love about our podcast being independent. There's no formula. Yes, we have a format, but it's fluid.
Yeah,
you know, we can be flexible. You needed to get that off your chest. I can see that the guilt is consuming you today and you just needed to table it, look at it, and so we can do something about it or at least shift the energy because guilt is awful.
I think the DLs will relate.
Yeah.
It's all we ever hear is like, mom guilt. I'm with you, girls. I'm with you. Well, can we like turn this into a massive right hook turn and hit me with your nut spun.
Keep singing.
I said, hit me with your nut spun.
Do, do, do. Have I got a nut spun for you?
Hit me.
Now, I'm going to be honest, not quite sure of the pronunciation of this brand.
I think you are sure.
Am I?
Yeah.
Look, I pronounce it Inapelli.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Okay, not Inapelli. I don't know. Okay,
Inapelli.
Inapelli. It's Inapelli. It is a fashion brand, but what I love about it, they're predominantly athleisure.
I don't know if they're predominantly.
I think so, but you don't. But that's fine. Look, Inapelli, if you've never heard of it, check it out. They do really cool shit. It's like quintessential Aussie chick wear, basically, is the best way to describe it. And, you know, Rebs has owned a jacket from that. They do jackets very well.
Yeah.
And we are going into the cooler months, so check them out for that. But I am obsessed with this one particular set. It's active wear.
Yes.
It's their red leggings. They are so comfy. The fabric is so soft and it's that 3/4 length, like not too short, not too long.
Bike pants.
Sorry, not 3/4 length.
Longish bike pants.
They're long back pants.
Yeah.
There we go. That's a better description. And then I've got the matching crop top and the red jumper. So Revsy told me once, Jem, I love you in red.
I love you in red.
I love you in red. And I went.
And red's having a moment. Have you seen?
It's back,
coming back.
Baby.
Yep.
And it's that cherry red.
Mm.
It's that really bright.
80s red.
That's it.
80s Coca-Cola red.
It's delicious. delicious.
Yes.
And Ina Pelli does this beautiful set with a jumper but cool writing on it. Like, their branding's just really cool.
Yep.
So highly recommend if you're looking for activewear, if you're coming into the cooler months and you're losing a bit of motivation with your Pilates or your regular walk.
Buy some shit and make yourself go.
HunGP. Get that dopamine hit. Get that fresh kit. And it might encourage you back into exercise. I don't know. Just saying.
And if it doesn't, you definitely told yourself it would. So that was enough that you needed to buy some stuff.
HunGP. All right, Rebsy, hit me with your not spawn.
Ooh.
I said.
She's on tone.
Hit me with your not spawn.
Doot, doot, doot. Mine's a thing too. And it's not a cheap thing, but it is a beautiful thing.
That's okay.
It's this glorious robe.
Oh.
That I've got. I got one for you too.
I got one too.
We both have one. It's from CC & Co. And it is the most divine, gorgeous, I guess it's like a cotton linen muslin.
It's so soft.
Robe, handmade, printed in this sick kind of like really cool tropical print. I don't even know if I can really explain it. It's very kind of like Italian meets coastal. It's just divine. I put it on and I feel like I'm swanning around Byron Bay, loving myself sick. It's super comfy. It's got quite big sleeves. Very cozy, very comfy, very gorgeous.
The fabric is so soft. That was the first thing I noticed because it looks thin.
Yeah.
And then you touch it and you're like, oh no, there's some juice to this fabric. You know? They're luscious.
Absolutely gorgeous. It also come in lots of other colors, like a turquoise, a pink, different hand printed patterns on them. Just really gorgeous. It would be the nicest gift.
100p.
If you have someone you want to, like Mother's Day. Are you kidding?
Froth.
Be so good for Mother's Day.
In fact, it would be something I would link and send to my husband. One of these, please and thank you.
Yes, a very good thing to send a link if you want something nice for yourself.
Do you know what's making me laugh, though, about this chat? What? Is you and I spoke about homey robes and how much we coveted homey robes.
I still want one, but they're bloody sold out all the time.
All the time. And suddenly we've moved on to CC and Co. robes. They're very different, though. There's room for it all.
Oh, they're so different. They're not the same vibe. I would actually seriously take this CC robe to the beach.
Yes, I would wear it as
like
a throw.
Like open,
yep.
Like a cover-up, even though we never, ever, ever wear cover-ups. Little throwback to our erotic fiction episode. Yeah, I would wear it like open to the beach, chuck it on after a swim. They are so bloody nice. Link in the show notes.
Well, DLs, that brings us to the end and we need to juice Teddy up with some medicine and some rest. But as always, thank you for hanging out with us.
Do you want to say bye to the DLs?
Do you want to say bye to the DLs, Ted?
Say bye, DLs.
I don't have time for this.
Are you really sick, Teddy Bear?
You little monkey.
That was a good one by you.
That was good. Very, very funny. You're going to have to end this episode, Jem, because I am juggling.
All good. As always, DLs, we will be back in your ears on Friday with a bestie hotline.
Bye-bye.
Bye.